Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, top gaming reporter Howard Stutz from the Las Vegas Review-Journal will take a tour around Las Vegas and the world. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Dick Gamick, Jill Derby, Mindy Elliott. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in 1 day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome to the program Howard Stutz. He's the gaming reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir. You've made my job really easy because half the paper this morning was about gaming issues. Let's start out with this whole PokerStar story, with them being added to the civil complaints against the company. What's going on?
Well, there's, you know, this was back in April that the federal government, federal prosecutors in New York, indicted about 11 individuals, basically put three of the biggest online poker companies out of business, PokerStars, Full Tilt Poker, and Absolute Poker, indicted 11 individuals, charged them with money laundering, running an illegal gambling business, bank fraud. And then on Tuesday, the prosecutors added Howard Lederer and Chris Ferguson, two of the biggest names in professional poker, to this civil complaint, and then charged them with basically running a Ponzi scheme where they were taking money that gamblers had put on account, basically pocketing the money up to a tune of about $443 million, stashing the money in overseas accounts. They didn't charge them criminally. They just charged them in this civil complaint. But sources are saying that the legal investigation is ongoing. And what this really adds to is the fact that these are two big names in the poker industry, in the poker community. And are there others? I mean, that's what's really the question. PokerStars, one of the online companies, they started paying back American customers back in the early this year, about $150 million. Full Tilt didn't. They're insolvent. They've lost their gaming license in Alderney in the British Isles. So we'll see where this all goes.
Well, it's interesting. One of your other stories today was the American Gaming Association lobbying Congress to get this industry legalized. How does this all balance out now when you've got these lawsuits going and at the same time the Gaming Association is pushing pushing for it to be legalized?
Well, you know, this is actually for the American Gaming Association. This plays into what they've been saying, that internet poker is a huge activity. It should be regulated on a federal level, legalized and regulated. Then taxed. And this type of activity wouldn't happen, is what they believe. Yesterday, the American Gaming Association came out in favor of Congress legalizing internet poker. That's a huge step for the American Gaming Association. In the past, they've been neutral on it. Then they've said that, well, maybe it can be studied. We think the technology's there. So now all of a sudden they want Congress to legalize it. It seems to be going in that direction. That's what's interesting. You talk to people like Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who tried to push this through back in December during the lame duck session. He believes that that something's going to happen. This could happen. That internet poker could get legalized. Frank Fahrenkopf yesterday, you know, said that he, you know, the head of the American Gaming Association, he believes it could be legalized. Caesars Entertainment, Gary Lubman, has been the most vocal advocate in the gaming industry for legalizing internet poker. And then in Nevada, the Gaming Control Board is going to begin taking input onto these proposed regulations. That they hope to have in place by January, which would allow the state to become the hub for internet poker on a federal level, where Nevada would license these different companies and be the hub for this, where this way it could be taxed. Internet poker could be taxed in Nevada, taxed in a state where somebody places a wager, and taxed at a federal level. There's just so much money on the table. That's why this seems to be, there's so much talk that this could happen.
Well, now, isn't there a concern, though? And I mean, I'm certainly in favor of legalizing poker, internet poker, but isn't there a concern that then the federal government would turn around and see how much money was coming in just from poker and want to put a federal tax on gaming as well, just regular gaming?
You know, I haven't heard that. I think right now what they're talking about is just trying to get poker legalized, because it is, you know, they see how much money is going overseas, even with the halting of, you know, these three websites, which is three of the biggest websites that there were for internet poker. Other websites have sprouted up, so the activity hasn't stopped. And it seems like a lot of talk has been around the super committee that's being in Washington, D.C., that's looking at the federal budget deficit, that this could become a discussion. Reid is in favor of internet poker, legalizing it. Plus, John Kyle from Arizona, Republican, has also come out in favor of internet poker. So now you have both sides of the aisle on this. And gaming is everywhere. You know, it's in only two states, Alaska Hawaii and Utah, don't have any form of gambling. So now it seems to be there's a lot of talk that this could happen. So I think that's really where it's at right now.
All right, let's take a break. More with Howard Stutz when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Are you tired of check cashing fees? Bounce checks and overdraft fees driving you crazy? Introducing the AccountNow prepaid Visa card. AccountNow provides the perfect alternative to a checking account without the hassles and hidden overdraft or bounce check fees.
Before I found AccountNow, payday was a major hassle.
With AccountNow, I don't have to worry about overdraft fees.
With 100% approval and no credit check, call AccountNow today.
Call 1-800-794-3971.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
The
Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Howard Stutz. He's the gaming reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Howard, I know that you get the reports from Bill Lerner from Union Gaming. And a few weeks ago, he put out a piece that I don't think anybody except me commented on, which was that if Las Vegas does not start building rooms, and he mentioned a smaller version of Echelon, the Sahara to be raised and open up some more rooms, the Fountain Blow to open rooms, that Las Vegas will be at a 98% occupancy, which would not be a good situation, and that things need to be done in the next couple of years to get Las Vegas ready for more rooms. What are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting thought, because he's probably the only analyst that has said this, that Las Vegas might need to start building rooms. Most of the industry, most of the analyst community, Wall Street, they're saying Las Vegas is overbuilt. The Cosmopolitan opened, and that was it. We haven't seen much in terms of room building. The only one, Caesar's Palace, is going to finish off this Octavius Tower that they halted back a couple of years ago when the recession began. It's about another 600 rooms that'll give. They're going to open it sometime in January. And give the Caesar's Palace about 4,000 rooms. That's really it. I mean, it's really what it boils down to is need, and there really hasn't been a need right now for more rooms. And then it's also a matter of cost to start up these projects again. Fountain Blue, we don't know where that's headed. Boyd Gaming has made no mention about Echelon and what they plan to do over there. Nobody is really talking about any type of new room development, any type of construction up and down the strip. It's a matter of filling the rooms that we've seen. We've seen obviously the Sahara close back in May, and the ownership is now taken over the mortgage. They brought in an architect kind of to look at it and what they might do with it. And there's been a talk that they might scale it down in size when they do reopen it. But we're really looking at the next 3-4 years down the road. I mean, nothing's really going to happen, it seems, until then. I mean, because the economy is just coming back very slowly.
And that's true, of course. But I think what Bill was looking at was the incremental gains that we're seeing in room occupancy, in ADRs, in these resort fees. Everything seems to be slowly going up, and it's going to take 3 to 4 years from the time somebody plans something to the time it comes to fruition. And that he's saying in that time period, if we don't start doing something in the near future, then, as he says, the Las Vegas will be up to 98% room occupancy.
Yeah, far be it to me to argue with Bill Lerner. He's a good friend of mine and somebody I've used a lot on as a source, a lot of stories and columns. But it is something that, I can understand his point. But at this point right now, I mean, the economy, we're not going to be back anywhere near where we were in 2005, 2006 with, when we were, just flying here in Las Vegas, and for at least a while. And a lot of these companies, they've retrenched. They are not ready to just expend capital on new rooms right now. A lot of what they're going to do is refurbish some of their existing rooms and their floors. We're seeing that a couple of different companies. We saw downtown Las Vegas, the Plaza reopened with refurbished rooms just recently. MGM is kind of going into some of their older rooms, even in the Bellagio, some of the older rooms there, and kind of cleaning them up and refurbishing them. That's what we're seeing more of. We're not seeing any new hotels being added. We're seeing more rooms added. We're seeing some of the older properties, older rooms being cleaned up and refurbished.
Now, with all that furniture and marble from the Fontainebleau going into the Plaza downtown, would you agree, having seen the property, that it is now more competitive, say, with the Golden Nugget than other properties in the downtown area?
It seems to be. It's the casino's floor is a lot more modern and cleaned up. The rooms are a little bit nicer. So, it's a matter of marketing, like as with anything. The Golden Nugget, it's owned by Landry's Restaurants. They have, they have a long-standing name, done very well. They know how to market, and that's what really is what it boils down to for the Plaza, is getting people downtown, marketing and bringing people to their properties. So, it's part of a whole downtown, the process downtown, trying to get that up and going again.
Oh, it certainly seems like it's going in the right direction. I want to just turn our attention for the last minute or so to Macau and Singapore. Singapore has not licensed anybody to run junkets into Singapore, and there's concern now with the Chinese junkets that some of them may be run by the triads. What have you heard about that?
Well, there were some leaks came out through the WikiLeaks, some government cables covering from about 2006 to 2010, State Department cables that basically said that the junket operators that operate in Macau are tied to the Chinese organized crime triads. Everybody in Macau was kind of interesting, kind of shrugged their shoulders and went, really? like we didn't know this? It's kind of the old days. The Chinese triads were organized crime triads were alleged to have really controlled Stanley Ho's casinos back in the old days under that monopoly. Singapore's a little different than Macau. It's very conservative. It took for years for the country, the city-state, to really license casinos, and they only licensed two. The project that's run by Genting, and of course the Marina Bay Sands that's operated by Las Vegas Sands Corporation. Those casinos are doing incredibly well. I mean, it's just you're looking at $1 billion out of cash flow annually coming out of the Marina Bay Sands alone. It's amazing what that market has become. And there's talk that it could surpass Las Vegas at some point and become the number two gaming market behind Macau with just two casinos. So they're very conservative there in Singapore, and so they're very cautious on the junket operators. That's why we haven't seen any junket operators licensed there. They have a process in place, but it's something we're probably not going to see yet. I mean, you look at Singapore. Steve Wynn has said, "Gosh, I really want to be in Singapore." Well, they're not going to add another casino, if they even do at all, maybe till after 2017, 2018. So, it's become just an amazing market, what Singapore has become.
You remind me of the movie Casablanca. There's gaming back there? Listen, Howard Stutz, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Look forward to having you back on soon.
Anytime, Sam. Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal, and technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Are you looking for a new job? Then check out the News 4 Career Center.
Washburn has been offering quality carpets for over 50 years. One reason is because you always deal with me, the owner. No commission salespeople. Second, we only sell carpet. It's our specialty. Third, no hidden costs or add-ons. Fourth, we'll do it right the first time, on time. And finally, we offer the lowest prices starting at $1.89 a square foot which includes pad and installation. We've been here for over 50 years because we treat you right. So come to Washburn, where you'll always find first quality carpets for less.
What? I'm gonna be late. I can't be late.
Grandma, you gotta help me out. My window's broken.
I'll be right there. No one's faster than us. We're all set. Done in no time at all.
Wow, you guys are good.
We guarantee the lowest prices in town, only at Glassboro.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Dick Gamick is here, the Washoe County District Attorney. Jill Derby is former chair of the Nevada Democratic Party. And Mindy Elliott is partner with Nevada Business Strategies. So Governor puts out a press release yesterday. PEB, P-E-B-P, unfunded liability decreases by $874 million. Now, that's very good news. How did it happen?
Well, there was legislation that was passed, and it was one of the governor's strategies that we had to do something about the unfunded liabilities. And there is also a piece, which I don't think is in the original estimate, that they changed the retirement benefits for future hire of employees. And that's not included in that number. So that's even better news than what they had hoped. And the legislature worked with the governor, and that's where you see everybody working together, because they knew that there was a problem with the down the road. Right now, we're fine. I mean, obviously, we can meet all our liabilities now, and everyone's, you know, everything's fine today. But down the road, it's very problematic. And they did a great job.
Your thoughts, Mr. Gack?
Well, and I'm happy that they're taking a look that far down the road, because they're looking down the road 15, 20 years on what's going to happen with the retirement system. And since it's one of the strongest in the nation, I'm glad they're looking at that. The thing we've got to remember, though, is right now, government employees are fat hogs at the trough. All the criticism that's thrown at government employees, everything that goes on, so the governments start reacting by cutting. They've got to remember that we're in competition with the private sector all the time. And it was the private sector that started up in Vegas and then up here of hiring brand new attorneys at $100 an hour. And then it started, or $100,000 a year, excuse me. And then it just started escalating from there. So when we're in competition trying to get good people, we can't afford to do it if this keeps getting cut. Well, I just say attorneys. I mean, it's in a lot of different fields.
The Retail Association of Nevada put out a poll yesterday that Glenn Bolger did for them that says that 70% of Nevadans believe that state workers should only have the same pay, benefits, pensions, and job protections as private sector employees.
You know, I think that government employees have become the whipping boy in a very tough economy, and it's not always fair. I mean, what we know, because Nevada's a small state, and we know a lot of them, we have really fine people, and the point that Dick has made is really true. And we find that, you know, higher education is where I know. We've got to be competitive to get good people.
Mindy, your thoughts on that?
I think they should. Why should they be any different than the private sector? I worked in both private sector as well as the state hierarchy, and I was shocked at some of the benefits that the state employees actually had. So I think that there should be a review of all the benefits and retirements, and there should be participation in deferred compensation. You could go on and on about how we could make government more efficient as it relates to employees.
You said the key word there, some. Not all, and that's the difference. And the whole government spectrum is getting slammed when a few people are out of line. And I agree with you totally. But you got to remember, some of those people too, if you're going to hire the best and the brightest, you got to pay them to come in, or somebody else will. So it gets into a real balancing thing here. It's not just taking a sledgehammer and start beating the whole government.
No, and it's no different than in the private sector. If you want the best and the brightest, you're going to pay for it.
Yes.
And I think that's you've taken away some of the competition because of the requirements for making
changes in government and all the rules as it takes to employees, Dick, and you know the rules that you have to play with.
I can't argue with you.
You can't, and so I think if you want to make it competitive, it needs to be competitive across the board.
You want the last word on this?
No, I just, would reiterate what I say. I mean, I agree that we ought to look at the private sector, but we want to be careful because right now government's the enemy and they've become the whipping boy, and I think we need to have balance in as we look at it.
All right. A story from David McGrath Sports and yesterday's Sun talks about Governor Sandoval kicking off an aggressive re-election fundraising campaign. And it's kind of interesting because if you go back to the Quinn administration, when they were running the first time around, what they did was they put together, or at least put out the word, that they had a huge war chest to scare everybody off. Mm-hmm. And they did on both sides. And I'm wondering how much business is prepared to put into, a first-year governor.
Well, I can tell you that, Sandoval's poll numbers are great. Businesses, he's making a difference in economic development. Everything he said that he was going to do, he's doing. And I think business is getting, everyone I talk to, they're very much behind him. And they want to be behind him. They need to be behind somebody and something for this state to pull us, to get us out of the doldrums. So I think that the business community is getting behind. I think you'll see them generate a lot of revenue with this.
Does it not concern you that now not only is it continuous campaigning, but it's continuous fundraising?
That's really been the picture for a while, Sam. And I mean, what we do know is you have to get in way ahead of the game and build your base and bring people on board. And we saw it. Governor Gwynn did it very successfully. And I think we're seeing the same thing with Sandoval.
And it is also the same team essentially backing Governor Sandoval that backed Governor Gwynn.
I saw my first flag. It was a banner. It wasn't a campaign sign, but I saw my first banner yesterday for the 2012 election already up. So we're getting earlier and earlier and earlier, but if you don't get to the dollars, you're not going to get to them if you wait.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Do you suffer from knee pain? Are you having trouble finding a physician that understands how to treat your knee condition? The Osteoarthritis Centers of America are now accepting new patients for their FDA-approved non-surgical treatment. Most major insurances are accepted, including Medicare. The first 30 callers will receive a free knee consultation. So call 1-877-999-KNEE today and be one of the first 30 callers. Call 1-877-999-KNEE today.
Come out and take part in the 14th annual Truckee River Cleanup Day. Join Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful, the Truckee River Fund, and the rest of our event partners on Saturday, September 24th from 8:30 a.m. until noon. You'll lend a hand in beautifying our Truckee River with a much-needed cleanup stretching from Verdi to Lockwood. And remember to always keep our river clean by packing in and packing out. Find out more at ktmb.org or call 851-5185.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
For more than three decades, the Jefferson Award has honored outstanding individuals who have donated their time and service to make their communities a better place. News 4 and Wells Fargo are giving these unsung heroes the recognition they deserve. To nominate an outstanding Jefferson Award candidate, write or call us at News 4 or visit our website at mynews4.com.
Watch for the Jefferson Awards the second Wednesday of every month on News 4 HD.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. While you're at our website, check out the blogs and also check out Nevada News Channel with great stories from our Samantha Stone. On our next broadcast, Tom Powell will be here with Resolute Capital Partners. International finance will be the topic, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.